You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Game on!
Game on!
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh, Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you aboard, everybody. Glad to have you with us tonight. A week from the big day, as we bring in Jenna. Jenna, how are you? How's everything going in your world?
It's going.
Making it through, that's the important part. It works okay. You're surviving work there in this holiday season.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit stressful, pretty busy, but I mean, gotta do it, I guess. So.
Right, gotta be done at some point. I agree with
that.
Couple
days off around Christmas, that'll be nice.
So. That'll be a good change, yeah, for sure. So, chance to kick back and relax a little bit, which will be good. Obviously, we are not going to. One thing that I'm not going to make us do today is make predictions, because we got next week for that. FYI, there will be a show on Christmas Eve, everybody. Yay! but. We will talk a little bit about the World Junior Championship tonight, because I think that I'd like to be more positive about it. I'd like to be more, I don't know, upbeat about it. I can't. I just look at this and I go, there have been so many mistakes made by the IIHF that it's hard for me to be. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to watch. I'll watch the games. I'll be right there alongside everybody else. But it feels like the IIHF is doing this in spite of itself in order just to make the money that Hockey Canada and TSN promises every year.
Like we literally say every week, if not, you know, more than that when we're talking, but I mean, it's definitely money before, you know, humanity. And this is kind of just proving that to me a little bit. I mean, I'm same boat. I'm excited because we haven't had hockey in a while and it'll be nice to watch. But at the same time, like, I don't even know, like, is it worth it? Especially for these boys, or I guess they're not boys, they're young men, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see too. I mean, we still got a bit of time till that goes out with all them having to travel here and everything. We'll see how that starts to play out in the next few days, I guess.
I agree with you. Yes, they're young men and, you know, My issue becomes an issue of, you can't tell hockey players not to play hockey. That's what they want to do. That's what they're bred to do in terms of, you know, growing up in that environment. You can't put the responsibility not to play hockey on people who want to play hockey. Like, that's like asking, you know, like if a dog, you know, don't eat the steak if you put a steak in front of a dog. Like, it's just not going to happen. The dog's going to eat it. My issue becomes, there has to be adults in the room that look at this and go, there's got to be something better here, because the number of players that were excused from their teams is ridiculous. I'm shocked that Sweden is going to come over and think they're going to play and think they're going to be successful, missing four coaches who normally coach them and four fairly good players, which is shocking. Germany is down players, including a couple of big names, just because they're not going to play due to the fact that it's not a relegation year. There's no relegation year because there's no Division One tournament being played. So Germany's stars just said, to hell with it, we're not going to play. And then on top of that, we're talking about, you know, Canada saw a player sent home, Ridley Gregg, for example, sent home because he was still feeling the effects of COVID after arriving and being quarantined. Like, it seems like, and I know that the players are all quarantining now. They have their 4 days of quarantine before they can start working out and getting together and talking to each other and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like the IIHF is just dead set on running this tournament, no matter what the cost, most of it being players' potential. And I don't think that it should be in that way a negative. You shouldn't put this on the players as being, if you don't show up to the World Juniors, it affects your draft stock or anything like that. But we know that scouts watch this tournament closely, and this may affect where players end up in terms of draft boards. And I hate to say it that way, but this could have all been avoided had the IIHF simply bubbled everybody earlier.
Yeah, it seems very, yeah. I think, I mean, 4 days isn't a lot even for them to come and it's like, okay, you're going to, you have what? I think it's, yeah, a total of 4 days, correct, of isolation when they get there. And then, I mean, obviously they're going to do testing and stuff, but like, even from what we know, like if you get tested too early and you have it, it's not going to show up. So like, who's to say, you know what I mean? At that point, you get tested, it comes back negative, you're out and about. And then 2 days later, you get tested again. And it's like, oh, I'm actually positive. Well, at that point, you just had it and you were around everyone. Like, I just, it's like, I don't know, 4 days isn't that much time for, especially when you were packing 8,000 people onto one plane. And then we'll see how that goes.
So, I mean, the players who weren't, I mean, we'll start with Sweden because they have the most, it seems like, they like the most players that and people that aren't coming. But again, Nizzy London, who's their goaltending coach, couldn't go. Assistant coach Anders Lundberg, head coach Thomas Monten, video coach Adam Almquist, all tested positive on December 6th and December 8th when they were doing testing, and none of them are allowed to come to the tournament. So they'll be replaced by Anders Eriksson, who is the under 18 coach. So most of these players may have already experienced playing for Eriksson, which is kind of good. But at the same time, though, him and Joel Ronmark are going to have to do what they can because they're literally down to like the last guys they can bring over. Like, there's nobody else that at this point that can come. So kind of tough to have it that way. They're also down a pile of players. And I mean, four players have already been sent home, which is huge, including Eklund, William Eklund, who for all intents and purposes, like he was going to be a star for Sweden at this tournament. Germany, already down two players. Elias Lindner was negative as well on December 8th. He'll go home. Seider, who's a Detroit Red Wings pick, opted not to play. And then their fourth player that was tested was their likely starting goaltender, who now can't play for them either. So Germany basically is coming over just to play scrimmages, is what it sounds like, because they don't have a team that I would say is on par from where they should have been had, you know, these players not been sent home. Switzerland's missing three players. The U.S. has already made adjustments to their roster, sending three players home or not inviting them at all in terms of their selection camp. Austria, one of its two high-profile stars when Ducks prospect and defenseman Timo Nickel tested positive. So Austria is probably going to be playing Germany for last place, which, again, this is what it's worth in terms of having this tournament. Like, we're talking about players, legitimately good players, that would have contributed to the team's successes, to the country's successes at this tournament, that aren't going now. Finland, Russia, Czech Republic, and Slovakia are the only ones that haven't reported a COVID-related roster change since preps began. And you go, okay, Finland and Russia are going to be probably there. Czech Republic will be decent. Slovakia will come over and give everybody a run for their money. But now Slovakia's got probably a chance to medal because every other team has been hit with a number of players who aren't coming over. And you just go, you kind of want to see upsets because it makes the tournament fun, but you don't want to see upsets because teams just couldn't bring players. They weren't allowed to bring players.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, as you keep going on and like listing more and more, I'm just like, oh my, like what? Yeah, it definitely won't be the same tournament that it normally is, that's for sure.
No, and I mean, I think that, again, the IIHF, not only do they get, you know, players going home and players can't come over and players, you know, we're not going to be participating in this tournament because, you know, we don't want to. I mean, they're missing Lafreniere, who wasn't released by the Rangers. Finland's going to be missing Kaapo Kakko, who was also not released by the Rangers. Jack Hughes from the Devils was not released to come play with the Americans. Like, we're talking about star power that really took a hit here. This tournament could have had some really good players in it, had everything came together. I understand the health risks. I get that. I understand that if the NHL is planning on starting mid-January, those players have to be in training camp, and there's a chance they could be playing for a gold medal days before the NHL season starts. But I look at this and I go, and we'll talk about the NHL situation in a second, but I look at this and I go, if these kids haven't even touched the ice, if these guys, if the Lafreniers and the Kakkos and the Kaapo Kakkos and the Jack Hughes haven't even touched the ice yet, or haven't really done a lot of high caliber. Couldn't you just send them to the World Juniors to selection camps, to the World Juniors themselves to run as training camp? Wouldn't that make more sense?
Yeah, it just, like you said, it's going to be interesting, if, especially like you said, they haven't been on the ice. They haven't been, maybe they have been, but not to the same level. So you're just going to throw them in there now. At the same time, I understand, like you said, the health risks with that. Like, who knows what's going to happen by the end of the World Juniors, like how many cases there might be, how many, whatever, again, because all of it's very rushed. So I don't know. Everything just, we're all trying to rush things, I think, right now. Not we, but hockey-wise, they're just trying to rush everything right now. Things that, like, really can't be rushed, which is kind of scary, but.
Well, and then you mentioned the fact that they crammed these teams together onto two charter planes. So six yeah. teams, which to me was just, are you kidding me? But the Russians, Swedes, and Finns all flew over together. The Slovaks, the Czechs, and the Austrians all flew over together. Now, to their credit, none of their equipment came with them. They had the double IHF apparently ran into a problem that was back on Sunday when they were trying to get everybody over for their check-ins on the 13th. To have all of these players come over at the same time, but they didn't seem to factor in into the plane situation, how heavy the loads would be when it comes to hockey equipment and all the extra stuff that teams bring with them in order to make sure they have, you know, full setups. I'm shocked that the IIHF tried to cut corners here. Like, this seems like, after everything they saw go on, after everything they knew that happened with these selection camps, putting three teams together in a very confined space seemed to be the worst decision they could make. But we did it anyway. Why not? Because we're the IIHF and we can do whatever we want. The nice part was that the teams arrived late on Sunday night. Thankfully, safely, everybody got over. Their equipment landed sometime Monday morning. So I guess everybody got their stuff. It doesn't sound like anything got lost or was redirected someplace it shouldn't have been. Like, we're not seeing hockey sticks arrive in Hawaii or anything. But again, I don't understand why the IIHF has to look at this as a money-making venture when every other business across the world is losing money right now.
Yeah, I just, that plane thing, like, that blows my mind. Like, you have three teams on one plane, all the teams, none of them are from the same place to start with. So you're trying to make them go into this bubble situation, but you're just going to pick them, like, they're all from different, like, it's crazy. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Again, we always say money over everything when it comes to that. And, like, they're literally just proving that by, especially with that situation, like, that's crazy to me.
And that's the thing, is that I look at this now and I go, you want me to be excited for this tournament? Great. I'll be excited. I'm excited to see, you know, Canada come out and defend its gold medal, but I'm not excited for the fact that they're not playing the best players from every other country. I'm not excited with the fact that you've put these players into a bubble for 4 days and gone, well, that's enough. We've tested them enough. We're good. I don't know how often these players are going to get tested after this as well. Like, none of that stuff seems to be coming out. And I get that there's some secrecy to the bubble, and IIHF is going to keep things quiet if they can. But if a player doesn't show up for a game or is scratched mysteriously, the first thing people are going to assume is he's got COVID.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say that any other way. Is that, it's the same thing that happened with the NHL. When the NHL was in their bubble and all of a sudden, you know, key players were scratched and people were going, well, what happened? This puts more pressure on the coaches and more pressure on the countries to basically say, come out with excuses or come up with reasons that this player isn't playing, when it should just be a matter of, you know, he's got a couple of bumps and bruises. We kept him out of this game. We thought it would be better for the team in the long run. Like that seems to be the way that it was done in the past. This now opens up the door to all of the questions of, well, we're going to see him next game. Is he coming back? Is he tested positive? What's going on? So I don't know. I think that the IIHF really should have taken a step back here. I know they canceled every other tournament except for the four major tournaments, you know, across their spectrum. But I really think they should have taken a step back here and reevaluated just how important this business is when every other hockey program in the world has basically stopped or been paused at some point.
Yeah, I mean, and even with that, like, they canceled so many other tournament, so like, why not put a little more planning into it? If you're gonna go through with it, don't just, you know what I mean? It just seems like they're like, okay, like, we're just gonna slap this together and that's good enough for us. Whereas, I mean, what else are you really doing when you're only running a few tournaments compared to how many it's rushed. It seems rushed. It seems unsafe. I think I read somewhere there's like a couple players that weren't even isolating in rooms by themselves. Like there's two of them in there. I can't find the article right now.
The Americans reportedly had been booked for two to a room. So okay. I don't know if that's going to be a concern going forward, because apparently the IIHF wanted everybody individually roomed for the quarantine period. But if you start putting players together after the quarantine period, assuming that they're all safe, no problem. But again, that's assuming that there's no intrusions in the bubble where these players can maybe contract the virus. So
yeah, that's not an isolation. It's not a quarantine. It's a gate. I know that we all tested negative before, but we also just threw you all onto a plane with each other. If someone had it, again, you get tested too early. It's not there. Again, I'm not a doctor. However, I have been through some isolations in the last little bit. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem safe at all. And I think honestly, by the end of this tournament, we're going to be missing like a whole lot more people than we already are with most teams. So,
see, and that's where, again, I'm not trying to be negative about this. I'm not trying to make this, you know, all about the, you know, the COVID virus and certainly, you know, everything that's gone on. But we saw players tested on the 6th who tested negative and then were tested again on the 8th as per the protocol that the IIHF wanted to follow. And they tested positive on the 8th. It's not like these players are clear on the 6th, so they're good on the 8th. Like, we're talking about the development of a virus that's going through somebody's system. And that's the question, is that if you get tested on the 6th and you're fine, it doesn't mean you're good on the 8th. If you get tested on the 8th and you're fine, it doesn't mean you're good on the 13th and you're flying over. And that's the catch, is that if these players arrive in Canada, get to the hotel, and then test negative, they're stuck in that hotel for 2 weeks. They cannot leave. Yeah. They cannot go anywhere. They're stuck in their room. And you think, man, that's worse than being sent home.
Exactly. You're by yourself in a place that lots of them probably haven't been to. Like, that's just,
And you can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. All you can do is watch TV, basically. So
it's definitely, it'll be,
Well, I mean, if there's good news that came out of anything this week, we'll start with WHL, because they actually are listening to health recommendations by the various governments where their teams play. WHL announced yesterday, or I guess on Tuesday? Tuesday. They announced on Tuesday that...
I don't even know what day it is anymore.
I know, I'm like, what day are we on here? They announced on Tuesday that they will postpone the start, originally planned for January the 8th for their season, until basically they can get some okays, some clearance from various health authorities. And I say that because... If it was to start today, if the WHL was to start, or at least on that day when they were proposing, as of right now, if we're talking about the lockdowns that are happening right now, Manitoba wouldn't be participating. So the Winnipeg Ice and the Brandon Wheat Kings would not be having games. They're completely out. Saskatchewan would be fine. Their government has basically said, Premier Scott Moe and House Leader Jeremy Harrison both said they had no intention of shutting down the province. So that would at least allow the five Saskatchewan-based teams, Prince Albert Raiders, the Regina Pats, the Swift Current Broncos, Moose Jaw Warriors, and Saskatoon Blades to play. British Columbia, though, everybody 19 and older has had sports suspended for them. So you would essentially have the five British Columbia teams playing like rookie camps.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense, but okay. I mean, I guess we can do that if that's what we really want. And then the five American teams in Washington State and Oregon, they're all completely shut down as well until January 4th in Washington. And then Oregon has basically said until further notice. So Manitoba and then Alberta, obviously we've heard about Alberta in there, but Alberta, they're shut down as well. Like, they're done. Yeah. So they're until going forward, they can't do anything either. So Alberta, Manitoba, Washington State, and Oregon all shut down, which would be basically 12 of the 22 teams in the WHL.
Yeah, that would. I mean, that's nice that they did that at the same time. Like you kind of wrote in like the hockey blog. It's just honestly, realistically, if we didn't have like code red everywhere right now, like I think they'd still be going ahead with it, just like every other league tried to do. I mean, we already talked about some of those that we can. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about them after too. But obviously, it's not going well anywhere, and I think that they probably still would have gone ahead with it if we weren't in Code Red, though.
Right? So. Like the QMJHL, I mean, we've got teams that have played 20 games this season and teams that have played 5 games this season. Like, that's not a season. Like, you can't compare the two teams that are playing because there's such a disparity between the number of games played. And that's, I mean, I wrote that on Hockey Blog in Canada, that if this, the WHL was based in Saskatchewan, we'd have a fully functioning, full steam ahead league right now of the WHL because they wouldn't care. Like, they'd just go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. Saskatchewan, thankfully, has shut down all of their sports teams just as a safety precaution. They wanted to make sure there was no sort of full contact sports. And we've spoken to a couple of people from the Huskies and they've said, you know, it kind of sucks because we really want to get on the ice, but we can't because, you know, we're not allowed. But I look at this and I go, I don't understand why anybody's pushing forward on this. And now there's people that are sort of pressuring the OHL because the OHL they're basically contained within one province, aside from a few American teams. They're basically saying, are we going to have a season now? And I want to say they're going to follow the WHL and be smart about it, but I don't know if anybody's being smart about hockey right now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way, at least. I mean, you would think that people are learning from, like, looking at really any other league that has been playing right now, just at what's happening. Like you said, you have teams that in one league they're playing 20 games, but then another team playing 5. Like, that's not – why would you even want to have a season if you can only have one or two teams by the end of it playing full – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd think people would learn from that. But I think, like I said, everyone's just kind of trying to rush things right now that – realistically, you can't rush. We just kind of got to ride it out. And as much as that sucks, like, it's completely out of our control. So why rush something and make it worse if you can just not?
So if you want to hear rushed, and I'm going to say maybe, I know you're going to be like disgusted by this, but we'll talk about, and I'll talk about that in a second. But so the ECHL decided that they're going to push ahead with the season. They have 26 teams normally in a regular everyday season if they play normally. The total number of teams that are participating in the ECHL season, which started last weekend, might I add, they've now have 15 teams playing this season. They've lost 11 teams already who have said, nope, we're not going into it. October 9th, the Atlanta Gladiators said nope because of arena capacity restrictions and COVID-19. October 20th saw the Norfolk Admirals say no because of Virginia's mandates on crowd sizes. 1 month later, the 6 teams in the North Division were canceled by the ECHL because they can't cross the border. The Canadian teams can't cross the border. 3 more teams on December the 6th, including the Cincinnati Stingers, Idaho Steelheads, and Kalamazoo Wings, all said no due to financial strains and the worsening pandemic situations locally. 15 teams kicked off last weekend. So here's why I'm a little concerned about the ECHL, because it sounds like, and again, I hate to say this, it sounds like money is playing a big role in this, in that some of these teams don't want to take an entire season off in order to be able to continue to make money and stay in business. The ECHL had a bunch of games played, a bunch of fun games, and people were excited and blah, 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 blah. There was, and you're going to freak out about this, I think, Jenna, because this is where the part where it gets kind of sticky. There was a game played. I won't mention which city and I won't mention which team. There was a game played to an arena that had full capacity. And hold on, here's the part where it goes from bad to sadistic. They actually featured a kiss cam during the game.
Shut up.
I am not joking.
That's good. It's good. It's good. Wow. Okay.
So the ECHL, which is seemingly, you know, full steam ahead right now with 15 teams as opposed to the normal 26, decided that we're going to throw caution to the wind entirely by allowing at least one team. And there are teams that are following their local mandates. They're playing to smaller crowd sizes and everything. This one team, though, has no size capacities on gatherings. And they basically said, well, it's just like a regular game. Let's go ahead and run all the regular promotions, including the kiss cam.
Yikes. Okay.
So again, when we're talking about human life here, or talking about the virus here, money over humanity entirely in the ECHL.
Yeah, that's, and I mean, I get, like, there is obviously some places, like, in the East Coast and stuff that have less cases, so that's one thing, but at the same time, like, why make it worse than you need to? Like, why? Why not just, I get money, I get it, but also I don't get it because what, I'm not going to use the word that I was about to say. So that's crazy.
Like I said, I was shocked. I was sitting there, and I mean, again, I, you know, just trying to tune in and, you know, hear stuff, and you're reading stuff on social media, and legitimately, when that came up, I was like, no, like, you couldn't, you didn't do a kiss cam in the middle of a highly transmittable disease, did you? Highly transmittable virus, did you? No, it, oh, they did.
They did. All right.
They certainly did. So, I again, I'm hopeful that maybe the ECHL can find some way to have a season if they're going to go ahead and do this. I just think it's an if, not a, or it's a when, not an if statement when they shut down. Like, this is a matter of, we're going to have more teams drop out because we just don't care. Like, we just don't follow the rules very well.
Yeah. I don't even have words anymore. Like, it's been
So let's take it one more step now, because both the AHL is talking about starting in February. Thankfully, they're starting later than everybody else. But the NHL is basically saying we're good to go. Like, we're gonna figure out when and where in terms of where we want to be and how we want to start. And I go, but you don't have to. Like, you're the NHL. You really don't have to. You can start whenever you want. You have no competition.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. I don't, again, it's money. It's all money. And I don't even know, like, I know we talked about, you know, the bubbles or whatever they were going to be doing for the NHL, like the Canadian, I don't even know anymore because I keep reading different things. Some of them might not be 100% accurate, but it blows my mind.
Like, well, the bubbles will happen, though. Like, the bubbles have to happen in that.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. But, like, at the same time, like, there's so many, like, provinces and stuff that, like, continue to get worse, we're in code red now. Alberta just went into it. Like, where the numbers are still, like, crazy. So what's the point of, like, bringing people into different cities and just risking it when you can just wait it out a little bit longer now that most provinces are hopefully going to start coming down with these new code reds? But, like, I don't know. So, wait it out. Like, the NHL has the money. Like, they make money every day off of other stuff alone. Never mind when they're playing. Yeah, you're going to make more money doing that. But, like, you have the money. You can push it back a bit. It's not like you're stressed for money by this, you know? Like, no, what?
But Quebec, so San Jose announced today that they're thinking about starting their training camp in Scottsdale, Arizona. Because the governor in California has basically said, no, there's no sports being played here.
So they're just going
to... We're just going to move.
That's good.
Yeah, we're just going to move and play over in that other state then that doesn't have the lockdown. The Quebec today, I can't remember which member of the government it was, but somebody in Quebec government basically said they're pretty confident there that the NHL will come up with a solution for the games this year. Yeah, they might come up with a solution, but it's not going to be a good one. Like, let's be honest here. We're talking about lives. We're talking about people. We're talking about, this doesn't take an, yeah, it affects your bottom line, boo-hoo, you're billionaires. But
yeah,
at the same time, though, without players, without a product, you're nothing. This is where I just shake my head and I go, this can't go on like this. We need to start really looking at, if you're going to be a good community member, and all teams will tell you this, oh, we're big in the community, we do all sorts of stuff with the community, then stop playing hockey and start helping people get healthier.
Yeah, just give it another month. Like, literally, just, I don't know, it's crazy. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we're just going to hop right back into it and act like nothing's going on in the world right now. So good luck, I guess. Like, I don't know, it's crazy to me. All of this is just, it's crazy to me still. I get it. It's money. I mean, I don't get it, but I get it because you're a business. But, like, I just want to yell at them.
But this is the thing.
Don't get me wrong. I want to watch hockey. Like, I would love for it to be back. But at the same time, like, wait it out a bit. Like, give it some more time till it's safer. You're going to lose players, especially if they're doing, you know, the traveling bubbles. Like, there's only so long until that goes south, so.
Well, I mean, we can look at all the different sports leagues that tried that. Baseball, football, in terms of the NFL. All of them have had their run-ins with COVID during doing that. And that's where I go, again, you guys can be so much better if you just stop trying to force the issue. Like, this isn't going to be – and, I mean, I'll put it on you as well. You're coaching a team. You can't even be around your players. Like, it sucks for you guys for coaching because, I mean, you want to get on the ice. You want to see, you know, the girls do well and see them, you know, excel it in terms of playing hockey and doing all the fun stuff, winning games, all that kind of stuff. That's not happening because you guys can't. These are guys that legitimately shouldn't, and they're just trying to bend the rules so that, you know, oh, we can make a few million bucks, no big deal. Oh, we got a contract with a couple of people. And that's where I've heard some problems, speaking of contracts, is that the NHL doesn't want to bubble so much that they're planning on doing the traveling between arenas because every single team has a local TV sponsor, a local TV contract, has all sorts of arena contracts in terms of different sponsors and different. And so the NHL is trying to sort of cater to all of these problems it has rather than getting everybody together and going, we need to work together on how to solve this.
Yeah. Yeah. it's just, again, like, it's one of those things, like, it's driving me crazy. Like, there's so many things that they can do about it to make it safer in the long run. Like you said, like, why not? Not obviously you can't sit everyone down, but basically sit everyone down and be like, hey, look, what are we gonna do? Rather than like, oh no, like, you have a contract too, like, oh, like, we got to do that. Like, you're the NHL, like, you, they wouldn't have a contract without you, so figure it out, you know.
If there's one league they should be keeping an eye on, though, and the league that likely will give them the best insight as to how it's going to work will be the NBA. The NBA is already talking about starting their season mid-December, which we're into. They already have exhibition games going in terms of preseason games. If the NBA falters, I could see the NHL taking a cue from them and going, we're not going to do this then. We're gonna wait. But until they do, I don't see the NHL changing their strategy here because they play in all the same arenas. They're using all the same services in terms of food services, in terms of charter planes, in terms of, I don't see this changing unless the NBA runs into a problem. And to me, I look at that and I go, you're not looking out for your athletes then, you're looking out for your business. You're talking about doing the best thing that you can for your athletes, but you're really more concerned with the dollars and cents of the business.
Yeah. As we've literally, yeah.
The last 9 months, that's all we've talked about is how the business comes before the humanity. And this is legitimately the culmination between the World Juniors, the ECHL, the QMJHL trying to run their seasons, the NHL trying to put on a season. Like, hockey should be so much better than this, and we're not. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, like I'm Mr. Negative all the time, but we could be so much better if we just did the right thing once in a while.
Right? I just, like, yeah. I don't even see people tweeting, like, oh, like, bring hockey back, do whatever. I'm like, everyone's in the same boat. But, like, also think about these guys. Like, they have families, they have kids, they have whatever. Like, that's just,
right.
Like, if you were in that position, would you want to be doing that? Like, obviously you want to be playing. But if you're in that position where you have a young family or you have, like, your parents that now you might not be able to see, or if you have anyone with any health issues in your family, like, you're not going to be able to see them realistically until the season's done at that point. So, like, nobody's, again, it's just business. It's all business, even coming from people, like, and I get it. Like, trust me, we want to watch hockey too, but you need to think about realistically, like, it's not safe for them. It's not even that it's not safe. It's just, it puts them in a place where they can't be doing things that normal humans get to do that they normally would be able to do while still playing hockey, which, yeah, that's their job, but, like, it's just, I don't know.
No, I'm right beside you on that. Like I said, it's ridiculous that the sport seems to be sacrificed for the business, and I hate to say it that way, but I mean, if hockey's a business, I'm not really sure I'm in the right sport anymore. So
no kidding. Yeah,
I mean, I get that there's always going to be that business side of it, but it just seems like it's every day it's more and more with the business side as opposed to the sports side. So we'll see what happens from there.
It's becoming a lot more exposed, like, because of COVID. Like, I think obviously we kind of knew that before all this happened, like, that's just whatever. But because this is all going on, you're like, holy, like, even with playoffs and whatever that happened, like, it's really just, it's exposing a lot within not even just the NHL, but a lot of sports. So,
right. No, I agree. Like I said, it's one of those things where we could and we should be better, but as of right now, we are more concerned about the dollars and cents of the world, which at the end of the day, you can't take with you. So there's the problem.
Yep.
Speaking of dollars and cents, I'll go on record right now and I'll issue an apology, only a half-hearted apology though, because I was pretty mean to San Jose when we were talking about the retro reverse jerseys. Like, I thought that they had one of the worst alternate. They always have bad alternate jerseys. Like, don't get me wrong, they're a team without creativity, I'll say. A team that literally can't imagine their jerseys, whether it be gray, teal, or black. They seem to have no sort of ideas on how to make them better, how to make them more fun, how to do anything. I was pretty mean about their reverse retro jersey because I thought it was awful. I still think it's awful. Don't get me wrong. I still think that it's a horrendous effort that anybody put in. But San Jose Sharks decided that they were going to unveil on Tuesday their new heritage jersey to celebrate their 30th anniversary. The heritage jersey is legitimately the throwback to their first jersey, which is what I thought they should have worn as the reverse retro. So maybe they kind of got it right, but didn't quite get it right. Because I actually like these heritage jerseys. I think that they look good.
Yeah, I like them too. My one thing is just the stripe on the bottom, like the white part. I think there's just too much white. Could have just like lowered it down a little bit. Like, I'm looking at it right now. I didn't really notice that before, but I think also I'm just staring at it for the last like 5 minutes. So
are you ruining a jersey? Like, I ruined the Flyers one for you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I don't know. The white on the bottom, like the one bottom, I just feel like it needs to be a little bit less. It's like it looks like it comes up to their belly button almost. I mean, it's hard to tell if no one's wearing it, but I like them though. I think they're nice, definitely.
They did wear a heritage jersey back in 2015, 2016. I should remind everybody for that. Like, they did wear a heritage jersey previously for the 25th anniversary, which again, I don't have a problem with. Like, I thought the heritage jerseys they wore before looked good. It was the same teal with the old logo on it and the stripes are okay. The white on the bottom is big, but the original jerseys also had that though, which,
I mean, that's fair, but like, still just make a little tweak, you know.
The one thing that I don't like, and I'll say this only because again, I don't understand this. San Jose now has 5 jerseys. Again, we went over this with Carolina having 5 jerseys. San Jose now has 5 jerseys.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Why? Like, why?
Like, how do you decide? I mean, obviously the NHL kind of helps you pick what jerseys, but how do you, like, why? Yeah, what's the...
More
money. They get to make more money because they have more things to sell.
But again, how are you selling stuff if people are complaining about not having money during the pandemic? Like, this is the thing. Like, you're introducing this stuff at the worst possible time.
Oh, yeah. But they're doing anything they can to make money. And you know what? People, like, I was reading some of the tweets that people are, like, replying to the jerseys or whatever. And, like, people are all for it right now. Like, again, I don't know. Like you said, it is not the greatest time. At the same time, I think it's definitely smart. I mean, I know my money that I have been spending during COVID has been a lot more than normal. Should I be doing that? No, but...
Again, I'm not here to criticize anybody's spending habits. I'm not saying anything bad about it. All I'm saying is maybe not the right time.
It could be a bad thing. Obviously, they'd probably make more not during this time, like bad timing, but at the same time, I mean, they also did just come out with the other jerseys, so
right.
I don't know if people like those ones as much, but if somebody, I know if I would have ordered one of those, no chance, I'd be ordering another one, like $250 on a jersey. And then
I'd be returning the first one and then getting the second one. I'd be like, no, this one's way better. The second one's way better than the first one, so.
Yeah.
I just think that if you're going to play, and again, I'll throw this out, if you're going to play a 56-game season, right, which is what the NHL is planning on doing for 2021, if you're going to play a 56-game season, and you have five jerseys, you're literally going to wear these, what, 10 times at the very most? If not, probably less. Why not wait for a full season and then introduce? I get that it's your 30th anniversary. Bring that back to Heritage. But why cram the reverse retros into this season when it doesn't matter? Like, yeah. There's so much. I have so many questions about the business ideas that the NHL has that I literally drive myself insane with them. Because why are you so, and you're right, merchandise is revenue is good, but you don't need 30,000 new jerseys in one off season.
For sure. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They make some strange decisions, but I mean, I can imagine you driving yourself crazy. I can only, the questions that you would have to ask if you got the chance, yeah. I would love to sit there and just listen in. Like, it's so good.
I mean, I don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, nobody from the NHL is ever going to come on here and explain that to me. I'm fairly certain I don't. Like, I'd be in for that. Like, I'd be like, I got 1,000 questions. Let's get to this. Cause
it's like a full day show though.
Oh, so. Sure. Yeah. Like, so. I mean, we turn it into like a 4-part series. Like, there would have to be multiple shows for that. But like, I just don't understand why it's got to be so, why they're so, it's so important to keep churning out merchandise when, and again, maybe people are buying them and I just don't know that. Maybe sales are up because people just have to have the latest and greatest. But to me, I can't justify looking at the jerseys and going, I gotta have it right now. I can't. And I wish I could. I mean, granted, I hated most of them, but.
I was going to say, I didn't buy any of those, but.
I mean, that's one of the catches on that, is I hated most of them. But I mean, even the Sharks jersey, like I'd be proud to have to say I have a Heritage, like a whatever. I'm not proud to have a Heritage jersey; I'd rather have the original. But I'd be proud to wear this one, and I'm still going, I can't justify $250 American for this. I can't justify $250 Canadian for it, let alone $250.
That's a lot. Like, that blows my mind to this day that they are that expensive for something that, I mean, some teams have five different kinds of jerseys. Like, I don't.
I mean, I get that if you're going to sell me shares in the team with it, I'll buy it for $250. But if you're not selling me shares in the team, what am I spending that much money for? Like, it's just a shirt.
I'm just looking on the NHL shop right now, like the official one. And do you want to know which one's almost gone? The good old Calgary one.
You know, I found out, ironically, I found out that horse's name is Blasty.
Blasty, all right.
Blasty, well, the horse.
Some of the other ones, so that's.
So I don't, I'll give you credit that there are people that apparently do love that. As we heard last week, Josh is a big fan of that. From Josh from Lethbridge is a huge fan of the.
Yeah. The Montreal ones, the Oilers. Calgary, another Montreal. Those ones.
Speaking of the Montreal one, did you see Brendan Gallagher in the blue the other day?
No,
It looks good. I'll see if I can find it and send it over to you. But I mean, whatever. Like, it was one of those ones that we thought was going to look good in terms of just getting it going. But it looked good. Like, it looked way better than I thought it would, and I was kind of shocked because I was like, you know, Montreal's, you know, red and white and no big deal sort of thing or whatever. No, like, he was goofing around practicing or whatever, and it, like, the blue is, it looks good against the white ice. I'm not gonna lie, I think that they did it right. So I mean, can I live with it? Sure. I'm happy about that one, but anybody else, maybe not. I think that Montreal's overall, I think the full uniform, like you said, full uniform makes a difference. Maybe I do need to see the Jets, or I do need to see some of these uniforms in full sort of glory, because I don't, I mean, again, I was okay with the Montreal one, but seeing it on the ice looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see, like, what they look like with the full uniform, because I think it'll change my opinion on probably a few of them, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited.
I'm not going to lie, I'm not really super excited for some of them that we saw, but I mean, again, I'm not gonna lie, I just can't stop looking at that Flyers one and going, what did you do?
Honestly, yeah, don't even bring that up again. I haven't looked at it since, so I'm good.
I've ruined everything for you. So from the Sharks, we're going to jump into a guy who's been around for both the introduction of the Sharks and certainly everything that's happened since. Announced on Wednesday, Jaromir Jagr is going to suit up for his 33rd professional season of hockey as he took the ice on Wednesday on the fourth line for Kladno over in the Czech Republic. I'm not going to point out that he's been playing longer than you've been around, Jenna, but he's been playing a long time.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, that is a lot of hockey. And I mean, I did not play anywhere near that many years of hockey, and my body is already paying for it. So like, the guy's got to be in good shape. Like, he has to take care of himself pretty well. Just like that level of hockey, you're getting destroyed, you're getting hit, you're doing whatever, and after 33 seasons, or this is his 33rd, I guess, right?
Yeah, 33rd season,
but
yeah.
Just still going back at it, and yeah, like you said, he's fourth line, but I mean, that's still professional hockey. Like, he's out there to keep playing. He's, what, 48 years old now and still playing professional hockey? That's crazy. Like, absolutely insane. Good for him, but...
I mean, I'll take nothing away from the guy. I mean, whatever. I was a Penguins fan when he was around, when he first sort of broke into the league. I was certainly heartbroken when he got traded to Washington, because I hate the Capitals. That didn't help me at all. But seeing just how often and how many sort of times he can change the way he plays and reinvent himself from being a goal scorer, being a playmaker to sort of stepping back and just sort of being that specialized power play guy for some of the NHL teams before he went back to the Czech Republic. I mean, give the guy credit. I mean, he finds ways to stay in the game and finds ways to make rosters. And I think that's a huge testament just to how much he loves the game, number one. And number two, how much he can contribute to specific teams that need his skill. So I got full respect for Jaromir Jagr. I mean, it's not Gordie Howe. Like Gordie Howe played for so long in the WHA and the NHL. I get that. But it's still pretty impressive. It's still Gordie Howe-ish in terms of how often and how long he's been playing for.
Yeah, it's so impressive. Like, that's, once you said, when you said that, I was like, no, like, that, you're just messing with me.
Nope.
And I looked at him like, oh my God, like, that's crazy. Good for him. Like you said, he knows how to play in different roles, which is huge. Like, most players, like, you know your role, you're stuck in that role, and like, that's that. Not him. Like, he has played every single role you could probably think of at this point. So,
and again, I'm asking a question that you may not have the full history for, but is there a Jagr moment that you're like, oh, I remember him from this, like doing this or whatever?
No, not really.
No.
I just remember, you know, just, he's literally like a legend. Like, he is literally just a legend. Like, he's one person that I think everyone knows who he is, and even before, when he was just playing in the NHL, still, like, at that point it was like, well, he's still going. Like, that's, I don't know, it's crazy.
I mean, again, I'll point back to his first full season in the NHL, where he lit up the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup final, where he skated around like four different players before going shelf on Belfour. Like, that to me was when I was like, okay, this kid's a player. Like, he looks like he's going to be pretty good. You know, he drafted fifth overall. I mean, the Penguins, you know, got him early on. But when you consider just, you know, some of the guys that are around him, the Owen Nolans and guys that were drafted in that same draft class, like, this dude's just going on forever. Like, he's going to play, he's probably going to, you know, have to be pulled off the ice at age 90. Because he's just on the ice so often. So, I mean, that was my first sort of highlight of where I noticed Jagr. And then from there, I mean, it's just, you know, the different things that he's done and the different teams that he's played with. And you just go, man, like, this dude's been around. He's been all over the place. And he's done, I mean, not, I wouldn't say all. I mean, he's not breaking Gretzky records or anything like that. But he's done enough to warrant. I mean, again, I know he's not done playing, but just put him in the Hall of Fame already.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, like, just give it to him. He deserves it. So,
like, he's already earned it. Like, you already made it. So don't worry about it, sort of thing. So, good to see Jagr suiting up again, though. Good to see Jagr back in action. I mean, if there's anything that feels right for hockey, that feels right. So Jagr in hockey at 30 for the 33rd year. Florida and Calgary making some changes to their, I don't know, their coaching staffs as they introduced, Florida introduced a Department of Goaltending Excellence, which to me makes me laugh every time I think of Florida, because have they ever had goaltending excellence? Maybe Luongo, that's about it. Calgary, though, did introduce a full department, a goalie department that has a number of decent people in it, including Jason LaBarbera, who will be doing some of the work with goaltenders in Calgary. We've heard goaltending coaches, obviously, that have come in and out of different places, and, you know, some guys that have some big names, Francois Allaire being one of them. Goalies are, and we talked to Bendy, we talked to a bunch of different goalies on this program, obviously, and goalies are a little bit weird and a little bit different than everybody else. But is this maybe going to cause a problem? And I'm only asking you this because you know from inside the room, obviously, Jenna, but is this going to cause a problem in that if goaltending gets better, we see hockey scores go back to the 2-1, 1-0 setups again?
I don't know. That's kind of hard to say.
Like goaltending plays such a large role in women's hockey. A good goaltender beat a good team, right? If we start seeing, and again, I'm hypothesizing that Florida and Calgary will take a step up compared to everybody else's goaltending. I mean, that obviously depends on players and on coaches. But if scoring starts to drop, like, how do you get around this? Because you can't really institute a department of scoring excellence. You're just expected to score. Like, goaltending excellence is a very specialized position now that's going to look at a very specialized person who does a very special job for each team.
I think that, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say. Like, I think definitely, like, obviously you can't have like a scoring thing, but I mean, at the same time, like, even when we played, we did have a skills coach that came out once a week, like, while the goalies did their thing with the goalie coach, and like, we would work on different, like, shooting, scoring. I think it'll just, yeah, like, scores will probably go down, however I think it might make the caliber of hockey also go up a little, if that makes sense. Like, it's gonna make people have to work. I'm not saying people already don't work as hard as they can, but it's gonna really push people. I don't know. It's weird. I think at the same time, like, the goalies that are playing now, yes, maybe it'll give them a little step up having these departments and stuff. At the same time, like, the goalies in the NHL, like, I can guarantee you that they probably work 10 times harder on things that they need to work on than a lot of the players do, just because of that position. So I think it will definitely make a difference. However, I don't know. There's a lot of teams that are starting to get more into that now. Like, even at the level I'm coaching right now, like, I have a skills Zoom call tonight, just like specifically on like working on goalie stuff, working on, I don't know, it'll be interesting. It's weird, but I think it's a long time coming, but I think it'll also help players become a lot more skilled, especially at like the younger levels too. It might push people to work on things that you don't necessarily always work on, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, it does. And I think that, and again, I'll use an example. I was at a Toronto Furies practice watching Samuel Small work with a goaltending coach, and I'm going, she's like, Sammy's pretty much been there, done that in terms of everything in her career. Like, does she really need? But talking to her afterwards, she was like, there's stuff I legitimately am learning the position all over again. And I was like, that seems odd to me that you would say that. But then watching her on the ice actually do some of the skills, I was like, I see where the goaltending is coming from and how it's evolved from, you know, Sammy's more of a stand-up goalie to a butterfly goalie to now sort of being very into the VHs, the vertical horizontals, and into the, and getting her footwork right and getting that. And I go, yeah, it's just a position that I don't think there's a lot of people that are super in tune with. So maybe there is a bonus to this. Maybe there will be benefits to this.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think goaltending's also, like, obviously, you know how important goalies are. It's also overlooked a lot. Like you said, when you have goalies at that high level, you're like, oh, like, they must know what they're doing. At the same time, like, if you watch NHL players and stuff, like, they still work on their skating. They still work on, like, proper forms of, like, shooting, skating, doing whatever. I think it's nice to kind of see that, like, as weird as it kind of sounds, like, on the goaltending excellence department seems like a weird name to give it. Like, I would just say, like, obviously, yeah, they work with goalie coaches, but you, even for NHL players, so they'll do something and then you watch a video and they're like, oh, like, I didn't do that right. It's kind of the same as goalies, right? So I think it's going to, I don't know. It's weird.
I guess when you have $10 million invested in Sergei Bobrovsky, you got to get some sort of return out of him, right? So
yeah, exactly.
surprisingly, and I was going to say, I just flipped over to the timer here. We are, like, out of time again here. It seemed like it went way too fast today, which it always does when we're having good conversations, I guess. But I'm gonna put you on the spot for one last. No predictions. No, nothing like that. Nothing crazy about that. But I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Favorite World Junior memory. Which one stands out to you?
Honestly, mine so much isn't even like from the actual games. It's just we used to always just watch them as a family. Like my dad would be sitting on the couch, we'd cuddle up on the couch, just watching stuff like that. It's not so much the specific games and stuff that I can remember. It's more so just like World Juniors is a huge thing, not just for the hockey, but like for my family. Like we would sit at home as a family, we would watch it. Like my whole family would come over on Boxing Day for like my dad's side would come over on Christmas or Boxing Day, and we would literally all just be gathered in front of the TV. Like it's more of like it's nice. Family more so than actual the hockey, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, by all means, I mean, you know, the games wouldn't be the games without the following that it's been built. And I mean, credit to TSN for building that following, but I agree. I mean, that's the one thing I remember is, you know, sitting around, you know, on that those New Year's Eve games, watching, you know, late at night, or sitting there, you know, after, you know, breakfast and opening all the presents, the first games that are happening on Christmas Day. Like those are the memories that, you know, like come flooding back. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's been some big goals and some big moments, but by all means, the, you know, the sitting around and the, you know, sort of watching it with family and cheering on the boys is always something good. And obviously, you know, hoping that we'll get a little bit more magic this year with everything that's gone on, but got to get out of here again for another week. Jenna, anything you want to say before we get going?
Nope. Same as always. Wear your mask. Stay home. Let me not have to worry when I go to work anymore.
That is entirely right. Folks, obviously, if you're still, you know, quarantining January 8th, we got to wait till that before everything gets back to normal. But let's do our part and bring that curve down so we can actually get back to doing a little bit more normal with that. We're out of here again, folks. Stay tuned. Skippy with Free Range Radio coming up next here on 101.5 UMFM. It's been another week of the hockey show. We'll see you next week, everybody, for Christmas Eve.
Ooh.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.